Producers 1 and 2 have said action. So we are back on the road to Paris. This is one of the first ones that I haven't been fresh off of travel for. I did not end up going to Xiamen, China. Took the weekend off the mic, almost off the mic. I took the weekend off commentating. And then Andy Benesch and Miles Partain, they actually hosted an exhibition with Italians Paolo Nicolai and Sam Cotofava, who were in town. And Andy called me up and said, hey, I'm sure you're on the mic for China, but if you're not, we'd love to have you MC and be our commentator for that little exhibition. So went down to Wave Beach. They put on a spectacular event. It was super cool. Just an exhibition. Did a lot of raffles. Did a silent auction. Nicolai and Cotofava got to meet a lot of local fans. A lot of local fans got to meet the Italians and finally see some international beach volleyball in the United States, which we haven't seen in quite a long time. And Wave did a great job. Matt Olson did an awesome job. Mike Playcheck, Andy Miles coach, they did an awesome job. It was a tremendous event. And I don't think they filmed it, but took a lot of pictures, put up a lot of content. So go hit up Wave Beach if you want to see more of that. And Paolo and Sam, ever the gracious guests, they were gushing about it. They want to do more stuff like that. So I'm hoping that there's a couple more exhibitions. I know Anders Moll and Christian Swarm were actually supposed to be in town for it as well until Anders went ahead and got injured, and so they obviously couldn't make it. But it was a great event, and I'm hoping to see more exhibitions like that until we host a real event in the United States. And I don't know when that's going to happen, but until then, we can talk about what happened in China. So huge thank you, by the way, to Andy Miles for having me on the mic. But in China, so I've been, for a long time, I've been tinkering with the idea of making an all-weird team. Just a list of teams where, on a moment's notice, they could lose in the first round of a qualifier, and you'd say, okay, you know, that happens to this team. And on a moment's notice, they could also win a gold medal and say, you know, we've seen that type of play from this team, and that's not all that surprising either. And Marco and Esteban Grimalt, they are kings of the all-weird team. So they go ahead and win a gold medal in the Xiamen Challenge, and out of nowhere. So this year, this is their fifth event, they've lost twice in the first round of challenge qualifiers, lost once to Hagen Smith and Logan Weber, and then they lost to Austria and Leitner and Pascarewicz. I don't know how to say his last name. I used to think it was Pascarewicz, but then there's not another C. Either way, they lost in the first round of two challenge qualifiers. They haven't medaled since the 2022 Stade Elite 16, where they won gold, beat Andre Perisic and David Schweiner in that one. They've only made two semifinals in the last 4 years, and then boom, out of absolutely nowhere, they come out of the qualifier. They go straight through the gold medal match. Five of their seven matches go three. In the playoffs, they lose the first round, the first set, all four matches, and come back to win the next two. All four matches end up beating France's Arnaud Gauthier and Yusuf Krew in the gold medal match. And so now the Grimalts are now number 21 in the Olympic rankings with 7,080 points above my projected cut line of 7,000 points, which is looking like 7,000 is actually not going to be enough now. So after they won, I tweeted, hey, you're above the 7,000 cut line. I think they're probably going to be in. So at the moment, the Grimalts have the last spot in the Olympics. So if the Olympics were to happen today, the Grimalts would be the 17th team of the 17 teams who get in via points. However, that's a bit misleading because Cuba's Nazlan Diaz and Jorge Olayo, who took a ninth, they are one spot behind them. And they still have a finish to add. So Cuba only has 11 finishes right now. Their next finish will come in Stara Blanki, Poland, at the end of May. That'll be after the Espino Elite 16. And so that'll be their 12th finish. And so Cuba's just adding. And so the Grimalts, while technically they have that last spot, it really belongs to Cuba. And so what the race is really going to come down to is Moritz Pristals and Robin Seidel. They're at 6,500 points. They're trying to catch the Grimalts, and the Grimalts are trying to catch Austrians Julian Horl and Alex Horst, who are at 7,260 points. So they're about 180 points behind Horl and Horst, who haven't had a bad year this year. They just haven't done anything, made any sizable movements. And then you have the Grimalts, who just explode up and take a gold medal. And now this men's race is just positively even wilder. And I think really what it's coming down to, so in the men's race, you have the Dutch race between Alex Brouwer and Robbie Musin, Stefan Bormans, Jorik de Groot, and Matthew Immers and Steven Vandeveld. that's semi-close, although it would take a pretty Herculean effort from Immers and Vandeveld to get that second spot. You have the U.S. race, which Miles Partey and Eddie Benesch pretty much have sealed that up. The number two spot is mostly a fight between Trevor Crabb and Theo Bruner and Chase Buttinger and Miles Evans. I'll get into that in a second. Try and came. We had to sit out China. A lot of health stuff going on. Had to pull out, and so I'll let Try and came. They'll sort of let people know what's going on whenever they want to. So the men's race is pretty much between Trev and Theo and Chase and Miles at this point. And then you have that last spot for points, which is going to be between, in my mind, it's going to be between Horland Horst, the Grimalts, Pristals and Seidel, and Hendrik Mol and Mathias Berntsen, who are something of a dark horse at this point because they're sitting at 6,320 points. They had a big opportunity in the quarters. They beat the Grimalts 21-12 in the first set, ended up losing the next two, as every other team did against the Grimalts in the playoffs. So Hendrik and Mathias, their percentages are dipping. And while on the topic of percentages, so my brother-in-law, Garrett Springer, he's the one who does the probabilities, but he's a full-time student, has a full-time job. And so every time I ask him to do the probabilities, by the time he gets around to it, another event has already happened. And so I might try to get him to do one more after the Brasilia Elite 16, where there will be four events left in the Olympic race. There's going to be the Espino Elite, the Poland Challenge in Starie Blanki, and then the Ostrava Elite. But at this point, the men's race has been boiled down to a little bit of Thomas Hodges and Zach Schubert of Australia. So they're about 200 points above Horland Horst. I think they're safe, not sharpied by any means, pretty safe. But it's going to be between Austria, the Grimalts, another Austrian team, and Pristals and Seidel. And then if Hendrik and Mathias can make a move, that's sort of that little peloton going for that last spot. On to storyline number two for the men. Goes to Chase Buttinger and Miles Evans. So I passed Miles on the Strand this morning. They just took a fourth place finish in China, and incredible that they got fourth because they lose their first round of pool, got mashed by Arnaud Gauthier and Yusuf Krew. They survived against Mark Nicolaitis and Isaac Carricker of Australia. They survive in the lucky loser round, and then they just smoke Cuba 21-9. In the second set, they smoke Pedro and Guto 14 and 13, lose a decent match in the semis to Gauthier and Krew, and then lose in three to Germans Lucas Fechter and Sven Winter, who won their second straight medal. Congratulations to them. They're playing fantastic. Really fun to watch them, too. Great style of play. Very entertaining volleyball. And I'll get into them in a bit about why. I'm not mentioning them a whole lot on this show because this is an Olympic-based show. A lot of people were asking why I didn't talk about them after Guadalajara, but they're not going for the Olympics. They're going to try to shoot for a continental spot, and they're going for the Nations Cup and all this other stuff. They have other goals other than the Olympics, and they're way too far behind in the race. They won't get their 12 finishes. So they're very good players. After the Olympics goes, and hopefully I can continue doing sort of highlight recap shows like this or previews, then I'll get to talking about them. But they're very good players. I'm excited to watch them, as you should be as well. But as for Chase and Miles, so Miles said, you know, we played some of our best volleyball we've played, and we've played some of our worst volleyball. And that's a pretty good encapsulation of that. And the fact that Chase and Miles can survive playing some of their worst volleyball as a team and still take a fourth, still collect 680 points, still cut the Olympic deficit down by 240 points. That's a great sign for them. And what's so crazy about what all these players are doing, you're going from Mexico to China to Brazil. So most of these athletes came all the way back to the United States. I passed Miles on the Strand. I don't know if you knew what year it was. And I was like, I can't believe you're here right now. And so he had just landed from China, had about 2 hours to just skateboard up and down the Strand. And then he's getting back on a flight, getting back at LAX. He's on the plane right now, actually going to Brazil. So these athletes are going to be worn down and just beat to hell. And every one of them deserves like a volleyball badge of honor for making that trip and doing all three events. And I'm interested to see how the teams who did travel and play all three do in this final leg of this stretch, because it is a hell of a ride that they're on. It's not easy to be playing good volleyball. I mean, you're going to arrive on Tuesday and have to play the qualifier on Wednesday in Brasilia. That is so difficult to do. So we might not see the cleanest beach volleyball you'll ever see in the Brasilia qualifier, but that's just the way it goes. That's part of the ride. No one's ever at 100% or rarely at 100%. And so we're going to see who can bring, who's the best at maybe 70 to 80% in that qualifier, and then who can make the biggest run through the Elite 16. So at the moment, Chase and Miles are down to Trev and Theo by 400 points. They cut the deficit by 220. There's a big opportunity for them in Brazil because they're straight into the main draw. Meanwhile, Trevor and Theo, as of right now, are first in the qualifier. That could change. They could get a team to drop out. I highly doubt that they will. And so Chase and Miles will have a huge opportunity in Brasilia if they get another 600-point finish. If they get a fifth, that would be massive for them. So huge, huge opportunity for Chase and Miles there. Now, that'll do it for the men. So we're going to have a brief Waiakea water break. And we're also going to have a Skyball break. So this specific episode is brought to our good friends at Skyball Apparel. You can find all their apparel at skyballapparel.com. And you can get 15% off using our discount code SANDCAST. That is all caps. Now, if you want a little brief look, so they run all the apparel at the Vancouver Open. Could not be nicer people. And at the Vancouver Open, so the tradition is that you have to skyball on set or match point, or else you get booed off the court. You're just not welcome back into the country of Canada. May or may not be exaggerating. But so instead of skyballing on set point, which I did, I actually hand set a skyball, and that was one of the most viral videos I've ever had. And so they actually made me a custom shirt that the back of this reads, I hand set a skyball at the Van Open. That's the kind of people that they are. And they make great stuff. They make great shirts, great hats, great shorts. I've done a couple different promotional shoots for them. Super nice people. Always going to push for people who do good things in the sport. They're doing just that. So head over to skyballapparel.com. Check out with the discount code SANDCAST, and that'll get you 15% off. If you don't buy anything, just check out their site. Give them a couple clicks. Share it with some people you might think like them. Everybody loves a skyball. Actually, Paolo Nicolai at the exhibition down at Wave Beach, he hit a skyball, and the crowd went bananas. So go to skyballapparel.com. Now, on to the women. So while the men's storylines are slowly getting, they're slowing down because there's less and less teams. The spots are getting more locked in. There's less teams to actually talk about. The women's gets wild. So the women's final was everything there is that is fascinating about this women's Olympic race, because you have Carla Borger and Sandra Ittlinger, who are one of the hottest teams in the world right now, against Anouk Vergier-Dupre and Joanna Mader, who are in the most interesting race I have in recent memory, really. And so Borger and Ittlinger, they've made now three semifinals this season. They took two fourths, and then they took a fifth last weekend in Topeka, and then they win their first gold medal as a team. Second medal of this Olympic qualifying period, Sandra Ittlinger's first gold medal. They've just been knocking on the door, knocking on the door, knocking on the door. Finally breakthrough, beat Anouk and Joanna in the final. So they collect 800 points, and they are now number 18 in the Olympic ranks. They have 7,360 points. So that is going to put them just behind Lara Ludwig and Louisa Lippmann. Their fifth bumped them up to number 14 in the Olympic ranks with 7,480 points. So Ludwig and Lippmann are 120 points ahead of Borger and Ittlinger, and they're straight into the main draw of Brasilia, which is, as I mentioned with Chase and Miles, that's a massive advantage and a huge opportunity for Lara and Louisa. On top of that, Lara and Louisa are dropping a 360-point finish, while Carla and Sandra are dropping a 460-point finish. And so Lara and Louisa are in a position where they're going to be able to make a bigger jump than Carla and Sandra are. Now, this is... Carla and Sandra are one of the... They're playing the best volleyball, really, of almost any female team at the challenge lower elite level. Four of their last five finishes this year have been 680 points or over. So even though they're dropping a bigger finish, I'd expect them to make more gains this season. That German women's race might be a 7,800-point threshold to see who qualifies. Just crazy talent. Now, of course, as to the Swiss women's race, you know, I part of me feels bad of always talking about Anouk Verzoey and Anouk Verzoey, because they're sisters and they're still super close. And I actually got the chance to sit down and chat with Zoe about this at the Guadalajara Challenge. And she says, you know, we're still sisters. We're really close. We love each other. We just try not to talk a whole lot about volleyball and the Olympic race because it's just super stressful. And this year alone, so you had Anouk retook the lead in Doha, and then Zoe retook it in Recife. Anouk retook it in Sakurima. Zoe retook it in Guadalajara. Nothing happened in Tepic, and now Anouk retakes it in Xiamen. And so this race is just going to come down essentially to Ostrava, because Anouk and Juana, that is their, I believe, first gold medal, or they won a silver medal, apologies, first medal of the year. They're now at 7,440 points, number 15 in the Olympic ranks. Zoe and Esme are 7,360 points, so they are 80 points behind Big Sis and Juana. They're both dropping 460-point finishes, and that's a ninth place in a challenge for reference's sake, or a 13th place in Elite 16. So if they don't get fifth or better in a challenge, nothing happens. If they don't get better than a 13th in an Elite, nothing happens. So at this point, they need to make moves in each tournament and have high finishes to gain points. And so the amount of movement is starting to get reduced. But again, such an interesting race. And the Verge de Pre parents, they have to be exceptionally proud of their daughters, two of the best players in the world. I can't imagine the stress that they would be under right now. But as for another group of people who'd be exceptionally proud, the Swiss Federation, that's now three straight finals by three different teams. So Zoe and Esme win their first career golds in Guadalajara. Nina Brunner, Tanya Huberle, they win their first golds in Topeak. And then Anouk and Juana make a final in Xiamen. So good for the Swiss women. I remember actually after Tokyo when Anouk and Juana won bronze, a reporter asked Anouk, is Switzerland a volleyball country now? And she said, yes, it is. And it is looking more and more and more like a volleyball country as they have three teams in the top 15 in the world. Good for Switzerland. Now on to storyline number three for the women. Sarah Pavin and Molly McBain. So this is another feature I'm going to try to add, is who is holding on to that last spot to get into the Olympics. And that is Sarah and Molly right now at 6,540 points. So they're ninth in Xiamen, bumped that up to 6,540. Now, they are currently being chased by Lily Fernandez and Paula Soria of Spain, who have been smoking hot this season. Five out of their six finishes have been in the top five this season. They're now at 6,480 points, so they are right behind Sarah and Molly, just 60 points back. And the Clingers are the next team chasing them, and their fifth place in Xiamen puts them at 6,220 points. So they are 320 behind Pavin and McBain. And then, of course, lurking back, still adding two finishes to the ledger, are Sophie Bukovic and Heather Bansley, who are pushing their way up. So the women's race, of course, always fascinating. Now, looking very good now with a fourth place finish in China. This is sort of like the pencil in category, far from a Sharpie. We're just penciling in, etching in their names. Lithuania's Monica Paulikin and Ayn Rapalait. I've been hyping up Monica forever. She just has so much swagger. I love her style of play. Just anyone who goes over on one and serve receive and has a high percentage of kills doing that, I'm a huge fan of, because it reminds me of my boy JD Hamilton. So Monica Paulikin, Ayn Rapalait, they're fourth, bumps them up to 6,920 points, and or, pardon me, 6,900 points, and that puts them at number 22 in the Olympic ranks. They're looking good, as I said, not Sharpie, penciled in. Also looking good, and a huge fan of this, is Aileen Chamreau and Clemence Vieira of France, are France's Lezana Placette and Alexia Richard. Their fifth bumps them up to 6,920 points, and they're now number 21 in the Olympic rankings. So France is looking good to get two teams in. Lithuania is looking good to get a team in. And that last spot, currently being held by Sarah and Molly, is currently sort of being in a fight with Canada with Sophie and Heather, Spain's Lily and Paula, and the Klinger sisters, Dorina and Rania. So it just keeps getting more and more interesting. Now, as I've alluded to a number of times, next up on the Beach Pro Tour this week is the Brasilia Elite 16. I will be back on the mic. That starts Wednesday with the qualifier. Main draw is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Most important storyline of that would be that Chase Buttinger and Miles Evans are straight into the main draw, as are Lara Ludwig and Louisa Littman. And producer too. I mean, just look at this belly, guys. That's a big boy right there. And producer two, what do we say when we sign off on the show?
Shoots.